In the book of Jude, and our verse this evening is verse 5, but let's begin reading in verse 1. He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, crept unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the Lord, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's our text this evening, and he said in verse 5, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege that you've given us again to assemble together. We ask now, Lord, that you would speak to us. We ask, Lord, your will to be done in our lives this evening. We pray, Lord, for the filling of thy Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you would teach us and guide us and lead us along. Lord, help us to believe your word, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is our fourth message in this book, and that we find here a warning given to us, and this is based upon what has been said in verse 3 and verse 4. In verse 3, we found out that the author is telling us in this passage that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. As we come to verse 4, he speaks of ungodly men that are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, as we come to verse 5, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Now, there are three examples given to us here of apostasy and unbelief in verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. Now again, verse 5, we see unbelieving Israel. In verse 6, we see apostate angels. We'll look at that next week. Then in verse 7, we see the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'll look at that the following week. And here in these verses, we see the Lord, He presents the horrible judgment of those who depart from the Lord in disobedience. This is divine vengeance, divine wrath that we're reading about here, and we're not to take unbelief or disobedience lightly. That's what He's trying to get across in this passage. Unbelief is the mother of all sins, one writer said, and it's the first sin was the sin of unbelief. We find that Satan began putting doubts and the minds of Eve, and of course our first parents rebelled and sinned against God. Now, notice in verse 5, and when I come to this passage, there's a lot of verses in the Old and New Testament that come to mind, but he said in verse 5, again dealing with unbelieving Israel, he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Now, it's the duty of every pastor to remind the flock of the things of God. And there's many times in Scripture we see this brought out. I want you to turn with me, please, to 2 Peter in chapter 1 before we actually get into the text there. Notice with me in 2 Peter, reading in chapter 1. Now, the Holy Spirit, in John 14:26, the Lord said, would bring things to your mind, talking to the disciples. And also in John 21, verse 17, the Lord told Peter three different times, He said, feed my sheep. In other words, you're to remind them of the truths of the Word of God. In the book of Hosea, the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are constantly needing to be reminded of things from the Word of God. the watchman in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6, he is to preach, he is to warn. And like a watchman on the wall in this ancient city, the preacher is to be the same way. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, God again tells the minister that he is a watchman. He tells Ezekiel that, and he said, you must warn them. And he said, the responsibility will be upon your own shoulders if you don't give warning to those who need the warning. There's many places in the Bible that speak of this. Paul told Titus in Titus 3:18, things that he is to be preaching and teaching. But here in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. There's that word. To put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. He says, yea, and I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter's, his last letter, knowing that his death is coming soon, some of his last words are to remind the people of the truth of God. Now, in the book of Jude, in verse 5, we see some things that are very important to us. There's warning that's given. And we got these examples of apostasy, unbelief, and disobedience that are given to us. In verse 5, he said, I will therefore, again pointing us back to verse 3 and in verse 4, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, notice, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, he's talking about the children of Israel, he said, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So he brought all of these people out, and then he destroyed them that believed not. I think one of the greatest examples of this to illustrate it will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you'll turn there with me. Now, we may turn to the Old Testament as well and consider a few verses there. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read probably the first 11 or first 12 verses in this chapter. And what is interesting is verses 1 through 4 is describing the people that the Lord brought out of Egypt. I want you to think about this. Let me read the verses, then I'll make some comments on it. But he said in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not have you, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink? For the drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. When we study the history of Israel, we know that they were chosen, they were called, they were special. They had many great privileges, did they not? We know that they were delivered, they were redeemed. The Exodus alone, think about the miracle of the Exodus alone, which represented their redemption. Think about the Passover, the beginning. That was the very beginning. The Passover lamb in Egypt represented redemption and deliverance for them. And then they came out of Egypt through that miraculous delivery as they came through the Red Sea. There was just one miracle and one blessing after the other with the nation of Israel. They were given, according to Romans 9, I believe, verse 1 through 4. It's one of those verses in there. They were given the law. They were given the covenants. They were given the services of God and the glory of God. They were given the adoption. This was given to this nation. And they were separated. The Bible several times says they were separated from all the other nations upon the world. They were a distinct nation. They were God's chosen. And here in these verses that we have just read, he said, I want you to keep in mind now what we read in the book of Jude. The Lord says, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, there's the great wonderful thing, He said, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He delivered them, He saved them, He brought them out of Egypt, and then afterward He destroyed them. Well, that's what this passage here is alluding to in the Old Testament. Again, notice the blessings. We find that in verse 1, He said that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, all of them. He said in verse 2, He said, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all of them. They became identified with Moses as their leader. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. God gave them manna from heaven. You remember the story in the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers. And then He said in verse 4, He said, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And of course, Christ did minister to them, but we find they were given truth and given the things of God, but also they had physical water that God had given to them there in the wilderness. So we see in these verses the blessings of God, the many and great things that God did for them. He redeemed them. He brought them out of Egypt. And still we find that there in the book of Jude, He said, and then afterward He destroyed them that believe not. Notice as we read on in the passage, He said in verse 5, but with what's the next word? But with many, many. He says here, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You realize they were supposed to come out of Egypt and then God give them the law and then they would enter into the promised land. It'd be a short period of time. But we know they spent 40 years in that wilderness because of rebellion, because of disobedience, because of their sin against God. He says in verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Well, they were overthrown in the wilderness. In the remaining verses here, in the verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, He mentions four particular sins. He said in verse 6, notice this. He said, Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And we read about that in the book of Numbers. In verse 7, He says, and there's really, I guess we could say there's probably four distinct things. You could probably say five as far as verse 6 is concerned. But notice in verse 7, we see the issue of idolatry. He says here in verse 7, He said, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In Exodus 32 and Exodus 35, He speaks of the issue of idolatry. And then in verse 14, He says unto you and I, flee from idolatry. Then in verse 8, we see the issue, and we know what idolatry is. It's the worshiping of other gods. And then we see the issue of fornication or sexual immorality as in Numbers 25. Verse 8, He said, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. You go back there and look, that there's a total of 24. There's 23,000 that fell in one day. In one day. Notice in verse 9, He says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. They tested God. They tempted God. And then if we read in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Many times they grumbled, they were discontented, they were not satisfied. They were not even satisfied with the manna from heaven. They were not satisfied with hardly anything that God had done for them. After the miraculous delivery to the Red Sea and the Lord gave them fresh water to drink throughout their journeys, gave them food, they were not satisfied. They kept reflecting back upon the flesh pots and so forth in Egypt. They were not satisfied with the things of God. And then we read in verse 11, he said, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." And then notice with me in verse 12, he says in verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." He's given warning to the church at Corinth, and that warning is the same for you and I. Now, let's go to the Old Testament just for a moment. Notice with me, as we go to the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 13, and we'll just take just a few verses. But we know that when Israel came to Kadesh Barnea, we know that when the spies went into the land and came back with a report, and there were some of the spies gave an evil report, we know that the Lord was displeased with that. In chapter 13, reading in verse 32 and verse 33, he says, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." Now God's done delivered them through the Red Sea. He's taken care of them. He's blessed them. And we find that then they said there's giants in the land in verse 33. And he said, "And we are just in our own sight as grasshoppers," and they're afraid. Now, as you come into chapter 14, the Bible says, "And all the congregation," in verse 1, "lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." You see, they didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. They believed the evil report, as we just read. And as you read through this chapter, you're going to find the rebellion of God's people, and you're going to find God's punishment of those who did not believe here in this chapter. Now, you can read the whole thing at another time, but I just want to come down to about verse 18. The Lord basically in this chapter is saying that He's going to destroy these people. The adults, besides Caleb and Joshua, the adults, now I want you to think about this, the adults that went in, came through the Red Sea and went into the wilderness, they died out in this 40-year period. Now what is interesting, according to Numbers chapter 1, verse 45 and 46, there was over 600,000 men. And I would assume there would probably be about 600,000 women. I'm just assuming now. That's just a little over 1 million people right there, just in the adults who would die in the wilderness, by the way. Then you got the children, those under 20 years of age. And you're talking about, and I don't know how, I've never tried to figure this up. I was reading behind somebody once, and they were just talking about some of these things. They were saying that, of course, you've got times when there are several hundred or several thousand killed in one day. But according to this ratio, they're saying that it would be probably 90 to 100 funerals every day in this 40-year wilderness journey. That's a lot of funerals to have. You see, you got to put your mind in gear when you're thinking about this and think about having to bury people throughout this entire journey for 40 years that had rebelled against God. And we see as we come down into this chapter here, verse 31, he said, but and again, I challenge you to read the whole thing. I'm going to back up just for a moment. And the Lord did say this in verse 22. He said, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they have not seen the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb." Notice, because he had another spirit. That's an interesting way that's worded. He had another spirit. He was not like the others. He had a spirit of belief and submission to the Lord's will and to God's Word. And as you come down to verse again, I'll just give you these verses. The whole chapter deals with it. Verse 31 through about verse 35, again, notice verse 34 in particular. He said, and after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. And he said here in verse 35, he said, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And that's what the book of Jude in verse 5 is dealing with. He's dealing with unbelieving Israel. And he's trying to say that God judged His own people after redeeming them and bringing them out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy 1:26-36, He describes their rebellion again, sort of like here in the book of Numbers. And we again, Psalms 106, verse 24-25, it reiterates that they murmured in their tents. In other words, they murmured against God. They complained against Moses and against Aaron, against God, against His Word. And they kept saying, well, you've just brought us out here in this wilderness to kill us and so forth. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? And God destroyed, He judged His own people here at this time, those who would not believe. Now let's go back to the New Testament and read a few verses in the book of Hebrews. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 4. You see, they didn't trust God. Unbelief, disobedience. God tell them what He wanted them to do, and they said, but there's got to be a better way. Are you sure this is right? They always questioning God's Word. Does that sound like our society that we live in today? You can look at the plain teachings of the Word of God, and then here we turn around and we question them. But yeah, does it really mean that? Is God? We do that all the time. I was telling Sister Joanna saying about Sunday preaching a message titled Pagan Practices. It's amazing at the practices that are in our families and our church today. They're pagan. They didn't originate with God, His Word, or the church, or any of those kind of things. But they're still yet among the Christian community. Now notice we come to the book of Hebrews. And I'll give you a few other verses if you want to jot them down. Peter 4, verse 17-18, the Lord said judgment must begin at the house of God. We know that in Acts 5, verses 1-11, Ananias and Sapphira, we see the issue of God judging. Do you believe they're saved? Most believe they were saved. The indications are they know the Lord, and still yet God judged this man and his wife because of them lying to the Holy Ghost. They lied. And so God judged them. In Matthew chapter 21, it's 7:21, it says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of God's Father is submission to the gospel, obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and repentance. And that repentance is just not, it's not something you got written down on a certificate that you did 100 years ago. We're talking about repentance, living a repentant life. Believe it. John 3:16 talks about he that believeth. Right? Are the ones that are going to be saved. Believeth. That is a continual thing. You know, not just, I believed 40 years ago, look at my certificate. You know, it's not what he's talking about. And the children of Israel, these people came out, and still yet God destroyed those adults who rebelled against Him and murmured in their tents. I mean, it's a strong warning for you and I. And we know that time will tell who is really saved and who is really lost. We know the four types of ground. The sowing of the seed in Matthew chapter 13. We know as we look at the passage there that there's the wayside, the stony places, the thorns, and then the good ground. There's a few of those that, man, they look great. They're excited about the Word of God. They just kind of fizzle out over a period of time. Time will tell who really believes and who doesn't believe. The same is true of the children of Israel. If you've been back there, you saw this crowd come through the Red Sea. Again, what are we talking about? At least 1.5 million, you know, maybe? If you count the men and the women and the children, some believe 2 to 3 million, I don't know exactly how many there. If you saw them coming out, you said, boy, that's a church, man. Those are believers. They're leaving Egypt. They're delivered. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Then God has to kill nearly every one of them when He gets them in the wilderness. Because, again, He said, because they believe not. That's a warning. Well, notice with me, as we come here to the book of Hebrews, notice in chapter 4, verse 1, He said, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. He's comparing us with the nation of Israel. But the word that preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. He goes on to elaborate on it. He mentions the word unbelief in verse 6. He mentions the word unbelief in verse 11. He said, verse 11, let us therefore labor, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. But as we back up into chapter 3, the entire chapter is talking about Christ and His house and compared to Moses and His house. But let's begin reading in chapter 3 somewhere along verse 12. I'll ask you this week if you'd back up and just read read the entire chapter, both of these chapters. He's dealing with the provocation. He's dealing with when they rebelled and could not enter into His rest and God's wrath was upon them. But notice as we read from verse 12, He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Again, this is mentioned in the book of Psalms, I think it's chapter 95. He said in verse 16, he says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. He said that in verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of, what's the last word? Unbelief. Unbelief. Now let's go back and read our text. We're close. And we'll close. Notice in verse 5, I don't know that we're just going to stay one verse at a time through the whole book, but I wanted to take one verse here at a time in verse 3, in verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and especially in verse 7. Now notice as we come back, and let's read it one last time, and he says in verse 5, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Severe warning given to those who are playing games with the Lord and pretending they're okay with the Lord when they do not exhibit true faith in their lives. Next week, we'll look at the apostate angels. In the following week, we'll look at those, the wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah, the rebellion against God, and then we'll continue again. I don't know that we'll just do one verse at a time, but I just cannot run past these quickly. This is very important. You and I have family that'll look you in the face and tell you they're saved, and you know they're not. We have relatives, we have friends, we have neighbors that are in violation of the Word of God in every way, and they'll tell you they're okay with God, and still yet we see that God's judgment is upon unbelief, disobedience and rebellion against His Word. I'm going to stop right there.